Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Ayen Dangbior in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Thursday, May 25th, 2018. The Troika says it's time to get tough with those who block peace in South Sudan.
We have taken an approach using sanctions where we can to apply pressure and also to hold people accountable.
And at least one analyst says a fresh approach is needed to solve South Sudan's problems.
We need to get beyond the warnings and take concrete actions by hitting at the perpetrators of this conflict, and really to understand what is the root cause, what is at the root of this conflict.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The United States, Britain, and Norway are calling on the regional bloc Intergovernmental Authority on Development to institute punitive measures against violators of the peace process in South Sudan, a day after talks in the Ethiopian capital ended without a peace agreement. Speaking to reporters in Addis Ababa, Troika officials called for both regional and international sanctions to be imposed on peace obstructors and corrupt officials in South Sudan. Waki Simon Wudu reports for VOA. From Juba.
Ambassadors from the three countries say they appreciate efforts by the warring parties to engage in talks aimed at ending the conflict, but they have not shown the political will to reach a deal. Brian Suken is the director in the office of the U.S. Special Envoy for Sudan and South Sudan.
We have taken an approach using sanctions where we can to apply pressure and also to hold people accountable. That's something we think needs to be also echoed as much as possible by countries in the region and the international community.
Suken says the Troika countries are also disturbed to hear that fighting continues in former Unity State despite a stated recommitment by the warring parties on Tuesday to fully implement the cessation of hostilities agreement signed last December. Suken urges the warring parties to fully implement the ceasefire. He says it's only when the guns are silent that the U.S. will believe the warring parties are committed to ending the conflict.
First and foremost, the violence must stop. While we recognize the recommitment of the parties to the December cessation of hostilities agreement, what matters is implementation. That requires two things. The cessation of hostilities must be respected by the parties, and it must be enforced. I would also note that CTSAM has reported 19 violations of the COH since December. It's time to enforce the agreement and hold violators accountable.
Suken says the United States calls on countries in the region and the international community to speak with one voice in imposing punitive measures against the individuals obstructing peace efforts. Christopher Throt, the United Kingdom's special envoy for Sudan and South Sudan, agrees.
Please take action against the people who are violating the peace process, against people who are not fully committed to this process, against people who are spoiling this process.
Trott says it's time for the South Sudanese leaders to realize there is urgent need to end the conflict.
We are in the process of looking at ways in which we can introduce sanctions on individuals, both for corrupt practices and for obstructing the peace process.
Trott did not specify what kind of sanctions the Troika wants to impose on spoilers of the peace process. But he says the Troika is ready to use tools available in the UN Security Council's toolbox to punish violators of the cessation of hostilities agreement. When the South Sudan High-Level Revitalization Forum resumed in Addis Ababa last week, the African Union warned it would punish parties and individuals obstructing peace in South Sudan. Kwati did not outline what type of punitive measures the African Union intends to take against those who block the peace process. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
As you just heard, IGAD said its Council of Ministers will meet to consider taking punitive measures against violators of the ceasefire agreement. Brian Adeba, the Enough Project's Deputy Director of Policy, says IGAD can and should do more than that.
The problem with the Enough Project, and I believe the Enough Project should be part of the peace process so that they sign a cessation of hostilities with the government and the rest of the groups, because the Enough Project is also a problem to the peace in South Sudan. They are in offensive.
The system itself is so corrupt. Corruption is not an aberration. It is the system.
Hailemariam Desalegn, the former prime minister of Ethiopia and the former chairperson of the IGAD Assembly of Heads of State, was blunt during a conversation with Sudanese-British billionaire Mo Ibrahim last month about what he thinks is best for South Sudan.
Let me give you an example. The audit reports of the government of South Sudan have never been made public since 2012. And you have to ask yourself, why? Why is this happening in contravention of an article in the constitution itself that says that these reports have to be made public?
South Sudan has a myriad of problems ranging from the humanitarian disaster, a refugee crisis, and a political back and forth between the parties. But Adeba told VOA Straight Talk Africa audience yesterday that corruption is the driver of all of the problems in South Sudan.
The system itself is so corrupt. Corruption is not an aberration. It is the system.
Adeba says corruption is the norm in South Sudan and has resulted in a total seizure of institutions that are supposed to offer accountability.
Let me give you an example. The audit reports of the government of South Sudan have never been made public since 2012. And you have to ask yourself, why? Why is this happening in contravention of an article in the constitution itself that says that these reports have to be made public?
South Sudanese continue to yearn for peace despite what happened in Addis. Reporter Dengai and Daniel Martin Friday asked residents on the streets of Bor and Yei about their expectations from the talks and what they want to see happen in their country.
For me, as a mother in Yei, we need peace today, not tomorrow. Because of the suffering of our children that we see right now in the bushes, we are seeing women dying, and you see that all the mothers who deliver, they really deliver in a very safe place, that is a hospital, where they can be saved. We wanted our children to be brought back to school.
Yes, call me Bwana Malo. So what I need from our leaders, really, they should bring peace. After peace, then we shall achieve developmental projects. Since the creation of the South Sudan, we do not have some other access to the country, like road, school, hospital, and others.
What we need from the warring parties and the leaders of the Republic of South Sudan is that they should really give us protection, and protection of human beings and also their properties. I want that because we are really losing people and we are losing our properties.
I just need them to compromise. We know they have genuine reasons that are best known by them. But what is very important is we know it is like elastic. If everyone pulls, we will all break and we will not come to a point. So,
yes, I'm calling Stella in Yei. Let the government help women in South Sudan, because women is suffering a lot in South Sudan, like raping of women, killing women. Because if you go to your garden looking for what you want to do to your children, you will be killing there.
To me, I just wanted them to respect the cessation of hostilities that they have signed, so that there is access of humanitarian services to the needy.
As children of South Sudan, all we need from our leaders of South Sudan is peace, because we are tired of the war in the country. We lost very many people, so we are stranded. We don't know where to go. We just want to be in our own land.
Yeah, I'm Nixon Tavan Alex. This time, we as youth, we are tired. We need to share our education. We really need the warring party to come together and really see us as youth, as a generation that will hold South Sudan for a better future.
This is me, Mama Howard. We need good security in the country and also in all the formed states. And then also what we need from our leaders is advocacy for human rights nationwide.
As a mayor citizen of Yei River State, what I would like to urge from the warring parties in Addis Ababa to put forward is to fight against corruption. Because what I've seen, corruption is the one engaging all these conflicts in the Republic of South Sudan, because I'm seeing people are so much cited. Resources are not able to reach the communities, like the public health works, we are not seeing anything coming on ground.
Let them come back in the country with something that will change us, because as a citizen of South Sudan, we are suffering a lot and we are requesting for peace.
I want them to be committed to peace, because we, the citizens of South Sudan, we have really suffered a lot. Because since the war broke out in 2013, we have never experienced a peace. The first accord was signed, and the implementation was not done. So this time, we need our leaders to put our interests first, as citizens of South Sudan, such that peace comes back to South Sudan.
What we would like is that the peace process shall prevail and goes as the way we are all expecting as citizens of South Sudan, that our mothers and other people, they need this peace to be and have it in the grassroots.
IGAD said its Council of Ministers will meet to consider taking punitive measures against violators of the ceasefire agreement. Brian Adeba, the Enough Project's Deputy Director of Policy, says IGAD can and should do more than that.
We need to get beyond the warnings and take concrete actions by hitting at the perpetrators of this conflict, and really to understand what is the root cause, what is at the root of this conflict, is an incentive structure, a financial incentive structure that allows this intransigence to perpetuate itself. And we need to tackle that incentive structure by imposing financial consequences on the perpetrators of the conflict. Unless we do that, I don't think we're going to see any peace in South Sudan at the moment.
Hailemariam Desalegn, the former prime minister of Ethiopia and the former chairperson of the IGAD Assembly of Heads of State, was blunt during a conversation with Sudanese-British billionaire Mo Ibrahim last month about what he thinks is best for South Sudan.
In my view, I think it is a leadership failure, and it should be resolved accordingly. Otherwise, it cannot have a sustainable solution in South Sudan. I think the people are demanding seriously that this thing has to be resolved very quickly, because this country has suffered for half a century now, and still people are continuing to flow to Ethiopia, Uganda, Sudan as refugees.
We have more refugees now than we had before,
yeah,
during the war.
They came back to the refugee camps they left 20 years ago. So I think this is a very heartbreaking situation in South Sudan. And we tried our best as a chair of IGAD, we tried our best to resolve this issue. Agreements are signed but never implemented, and I don't see that further more agreements can be signed, but I don't think it will be implemented as the history shows. And so the only thing now remains is that leaders should come to their senses, to their mind, and they should somehow leave, so that they can give to the new leadership, new blood leadership, who can take the country to the next level.
South Sudan has a myriad of problems, ranging from the humanitarian disaster, a refugee crisis, and a political back and forth between the parties. But Adeba told VOA Straight Talk Africa's audience yesterday that corruption is the driver of all of the problems in South Sudan.
The system itself is so corrupt. Corruption is not an aberration. It is the system.
Adeba says corruption is the norm in South Sudan and has resulted in a total seizure of institutions that are supposed to offer accountability.
Let me give you an example. The audit reports of the government of South Sudan have never been made public since 2012. And you have to ask yourself, why? Why is this happening in contravention of an article in the constitution itself that says that these reports have to be made public?
But Ambassador Gordon Boy, the chargé d'affaires of South Sudan's Washington, D.C. embassy, has a different explanation, saying the allegations made by the Enough Project were just that.
The problem with the Enough Project, and I believe the Enough Project should be part of the peace process so that they sign a cessation of hostilities with the government and the rest of the groups, because the Enough Project is also a problem to the peace in South Sudan. They are in offensive, John Pendergast and his colleagues are in offensive in the U.S., while we are having peace talks with the IO in Addis, and they are not party to the peace.
That was Gordon Bwai, South Sudan's Chargé d'Affaires in the South Sudan Embassy in Washington. He was speaking on VOA's Straight Talk Africa program yesterday here in Washington. Earlier, we heard some voices of residents from Yei and Bor towns speaking to reporter Dengai Deng and Daniel Martin Friday about what they expect from their leaders on the future of South Sudan. You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. A no-confidence vote on a minister in the Jonglei State Assembly. Find out what that's about when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
have you been let down by someone you really trusted?
Yes, I've ever been let down by someone, and she was my friend, a lady. Yeah, once we got some misunderstandings with her, she revealed the secrets to the public. So, actually, it let me down. Yes, I felt much annoyed with her, and after all, we ended the relationship.
Yes, it's actually a cousin. I'd been helping to start up a business, so I gave them a loan, and they did not fulfill the payment schedule.
The friend I trusted most, he was a boy, but this man, he came to me, and I borrowed him some money. But by the time goes on, I asked for that money, he refused to bring it back.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. Lawmakers in Jonglei State's Legislative Assembly Tuesday passed a vote of no confidence on the State Minister of Labor, Public Service and Human Resource Development and asked Governor Philip Aguirre to fire Minister Thon Simon Thuc. The head of the Assembly's Information Committee says the minister failed to explain why he suspended 2 months' salaries for 42 Assembly staff, but the minister says he's trying to get rid of ghost workers. Dengai Deng has the story for VOA from Bor.
15 out of the 22 Jonglei state lawmakers attended Tuesday's session and voted unanimously to impeach Thuc. Helen Akech, chairperson of the Information Committee, says the vote followed a four-hour debate in which lawmakers concluded Thuc is incapable of performing his duties.
The Minister of Labor, Public Service and Human Resource Development have defamed the state by giving wrong information of 46% of God's name. Another reason, the minister suspended staff salaries for 2 months. The state assembly staffs did not receive their salaries, and we found it to be unlawful.
Akesh says state lawmakers must ensure that members of the state executive branch are capable of carrying out their duties.
We cannot allow anybody who is not respecting Jonglei state. We cannot allow anybody who is not respecting or following the constitution of the state. And we cannot allow anybody to give out punishment which are unprocedural.
The lawmakers urged Governor Aguirre to immediately relieve the minister of his duties. Thuc says some of the lawmakers resolved to impeach him out of personal interest. A month ago, Aguirre ordered Thuc to screen state civil servants to eliminate ghost names on government payrolls. Thuc says the exercise was aimed at fighting corruption because the government was losing money and some of the lawmakers who impeached him were angry over efforts to rid government payrolls of ghost workers.
The issue is not for impeach or the issue is not. The Ministry of Labor is dealing with public and this is a public issue. This is a no secret. If there are some of institutions that try to avoid the work of labor and public service, we cannot do anything, but the law can take the procedures.
Minister Thuc fully acknowledges he instructed the finance minister not to pay 2 months' salaries to 42 state assembly staff, but says he did so because the staff boycotted the workforce screening procedure.
The labor and public service is not going to pay those who are not in the work. The public service is paying just only the staff who are present. That is the rule and regulation of the labor and public service. So after that, I tell them the clear things. If these staff, they are not present, so we are going to detain their salary until we get them. This is all.
Thuc says rather than impeaching him, state lawmakers should support his efforts to streamline the civil service in Jonglei State.
Let us fight the corruption. This is a corruption. Let us fight the corruption and let us cooperate together to clean our state. Let our state to be strong and let us our state to be out of corruption. And let us build our state and let us protect the properties of the government, money of the government.
Benjamin Lem is the Jonglei State Secretary General.
The governor has received the letter of a vote of no confidence from the assembly today in featuring the Minister of Public Service and Human Resource Development. The governor to go through the document and maybe respond in his own convenience time.
It's not clear when that time will be. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaiding, reporting from Bor.
The United Nations has warned of disease outbreaks after devastating floods caused by weeks of heavy rains in Kenya, as aid workers struggle to reach thousands of people in need of shelter. More than 100 people have been killed, and over 250,000 have been forced from their homes by the heavy rainfall since March. Jens Lark, the spokesman for the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, said in Geneva on Friday, the major humanitarian concern beyond the displaced is cholera and chikungunya, a mosquito-borne disease. Rael Ombor reports from Nairobi on why 2018 has been such a catastrophic year for flooding throughout East Africa.
Across Kenya, Rwanda, and Somalia, the death toll from the flooding has surpassed 400, with many thousands more forced to flee their homes to escape rising waters. Rwanda's Ministry of Disaster Management puts its death toll at just over 200 in a period of 4 months. The number includes 18 killed this month as a result of landslide triggered by heavy rains. In Somalia, the Juba and Shabelle rivers have burst their banks. Justin Brady is the head of the UN Office of Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs in Somalia. He says the situation has left those affected by the flooding vulnerable to malnutrition and disease.
We've had a number of deaths reported at different junctures in the flooding. I believe right now we're looking at about 220,000 people who are temporarily displaced due to the flood waters. Until those recede, those people will remain displaced and in need of humanitarian assistance. We may see that number climb up in the short term with flooding spreading downstream as the waters move towards the Indian Ocean.
Earlier in the week, at least 15 people died in Somaliland when heavy rains caused by tropical cyclone Sagar swept through the Horn of Africa. The cyclone system has caused heavy rains in both the Puntland and Somaliland regions of Somalia and moved along the coast to Djibouti. Brady says those areas were especially hard hit by drought the last 3 years.
So you already had a very low level of resilience of the population. There are several districts that were most affected. The government is continuing to refine the number of people in need. And initially, it was around 670,000. That number has come down, as I understand it, but it's a case of being able to get into areas.
In Kenya, the Red Cross says at least 200 people have died as a result of the heavy rains. In the biggest catastrophe, a dam burst last week on a commercial farm in the Rift Valley, killing at least 48. Emergency appeals have been launched by the affected governments and NGOs for humanitarian assistance. Rael Ombor, VOA News, Nairobi.
Two Ebola patients who fled a hospital quarantine area in the Democratic Republic of Congo later attended a prayer meeting, potentially putting the 50 to 60 attendees at risk of contracting the disease. Both of the patients died, leaving aid agencies with the challenge of tracking down everyone they came in contact with and vaccinating them. This complicates efforts to contain the outbreak that began in two remote villages before spreading to the provincial capital of Mbandaka and killing 27 people so far. The escapees underscore the painful process of putting people in isolation, separating them from their support networks. As Doctors Without Borders said in a statement, forced hospitalization is not the solution to this epidemic. World Health Organization spokesman Tariq Jasarvik downplayed the incident, saying it was unexpected. Speaking with VOA's Paul Alexander, he chalked it up to human nature. South Sudanese artists in Uganda are using songs, poetry, and paintings to call for peace in the country. Artists say music can help pass messages that unite communities torn apart by the conflict. The artists organize a concert featuring singers, poets, and comedians in the Ugandan capital, Kampala, on Sunday, which attracted hundreds of South Sudanese. Maguma Davis Wakarinj has more for VOA from Kampala, Uganda.
South Sudanese singer Okuta Sizamalish, popularly known by his stage name Silver X, entertained hundreds of South Sudanese in a large conference hall at Makerere University. In the song Ana Bikole Munu, Silver asks, "Who do I cry to?" He says the South Sudanese people have suffered for far too long. He says leaders should listen to the cries of their people.
As an artist, I believe this can bring a change. You know, music is love. That's the real meaning of music. We do music that can change people's minds, that can heal them from the pain they're going through, that can make them understand that there is need for peace and love in our country.
South Sudanese artists here believe the only way to end the four-year-long conflict is through dialogue. The concert was organized by the Anatabani campaign. Anatabani in Arabic means I am tired. The campaign uses poetry, music and paintings to foster public discussions about social injustices and ways to promote peace. Peace activist Alith Ciel Mayar says it is important to bring young people together from different ethnic backgrounds to listen and talk to each other.
The youth have energy, and when they don't use this energy positively, they will end up using negatively. So we always create dialogue for them, even to change their perspective on social media. For example, those bad posting, if they can post positive messages, so that we change the narrative and we see if peace can be achieved.
Tens of thousands of people have died in the conflict, according to the International Crisis Group. More than 4 million people have been displaced from their homes. 2 million of them live as refugees in neighboring countries like Uganda. Tito Anthony sought refuge in the Ugandan capital, Kampala. He says he was moved by the message he heard during the concert.
The major problem that is hindering the peace in South Sudan is not the citizens themselves. It is not the ordinary person, but it's the leaders. Once the leaders agreed, I don't think that there will be any problem with our people still fighting.
Donis Ojok is the program manager at CONRAD, a non-government organization that promotes peace and democracy among South Sudanese.
We noticed that artists actually have quite a big role to play. One, because they are influential individuals in society. Two, music is a universal language. Everybody listens to it. And so it can actually be used as a powerful tool to promote peace.
Organizers also plan to visit refugee camps in Uganda and have artists perform songs of peace and unity among communities there. For VOA News, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
And that's our show for this Thursday. We leave you with the song Is This Love by Bob Marley.
Is this love? Is this love? Is this love? Is this love?
You've been listening to reggae legend Bob Marley with the song Is This Love. I'm Ayan Deng Bior in Washington. We're glad you could be here. Let us know what you think about the show. You can find us on the web at southsudan@voanews.com or reach us on Facebook. Our title is South Sudan in Focus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from The Voice of America. We'll share.